to episode 77 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Lynn.
This is Stephanie.
This is Shannon.
And this is Josh.
Hello. We are back.
Hi.
This is going to be good. We've got a recap of The Vampire Diaries, The Descent.
Woohoo! Finally.
I think someone won the bet from last week, everybody. Yes. Not going to say who yet.
I owe you $10.
But we'll get into that, and we have some news, including some gossip news this week. Twilight Vampire Diaries is very exciting. And we are going to, well, Stephanie will talk about Being Human second episode.
Right.
But no, I can help you with that, because I think the stories are kind of the same with the UK version. And I will watch the second episode, just haven't yet. So yeah, welcome to Bike Club Show, where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. And we are bikeclubshow.com. Email us bikeclubshow@gmail.com, on Twitter @bikeclubshow. And we also have a facebook.com/bikeclubshow. And we start each and every week with a wine selection of the week. I guess I'm it. I'm not drinking it right now, but I did have it this weekend. It is a bottle of wine, Walter Hansel 2008 Pinot Noir, $30. Ooh. Not our normal cheapy wine.
Pricey.
It is. So I'm going to tell you whether or not it's worth your time. This Pinot Noir is lighter than I thought it was going to be. And the description here says light bright red, spicy red berries and cherry on the nose with a faintly medicinal aspect that fades with aeration. Is that how you say that? Pliant. This is pliant. Raspberry and bitter cherry flavors are given spine and lift by zesty minerality. Very fresh Pinot with a warm, focused
so
finish.
Verbs.
I know. That leaves bitter cherry skin and pit notes behind. That's the longest description I've ever read so far.
They really thought about that one.
They really did. Light. I get bitter. I get cherry lots of times.
Zesty. Jesus. Did you get zesty reality?
I'm feeling zesty. You know what? The thing that I'll take away from it is that it's very light. It's not full body at all. And I was not expecting that. I didn't realize that. If you like that kind of wine, then this is probably for you. I wasn't loving it so much, although in the point range, I don't know, I guess 100 being best, this is scoring 90, 92 on the point range, which is crazy. I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 fangs. Wasn't my favorite, but I think I was wanting a really dark, rich wine, and I don't know. I thought I was going to get it with this. I didn't realize. The description is not on the label, it's just here on the website, and I didn't pay attention. But maybe there are those of you who like it. It's a decent wine. It is expensive, so think twice. If you're looking for something darker, heavy spice, warning.
Choose one of our cheap selections instead.
Go back and listen to one of our old
Because we're
reviews.
Almost always cheap.
This is actually, you know, because it's winter, I think this is a really good summer red wine. Quite honestly, because it's so light, you know, I think if you're looking for a red wine and it's hot, this might work for you. But because it's, you know, I wanted to warm up and I wanted it to be a little, you know, earthy or whatever, didn't really quite hit the spot. But I will claim ignorance, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I won't give it. I won't blame the wine so much. So how's that? Three All right. fangs, decent wine.
Fair enough.
Maybe I'll try it again in the summer. Maybe I'll have more accolades the second time around. So that is the wine selection of the week. You know what? Let's just go ahead and get into the news. Nice. I wasn't sure if we were going to hear that or not, but yay. Okay. Let's start with Being Human, second episode really quickly. Stephanie, you're the only one who's watched it.
Oh, come on, guys.
I'll catch up next week, I promise.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'll give an initial reaction to the second episode. I thought it was pretty solid.
Okay.
Again, I'm not totally hooked yet. I didn't think it was awesome, but it's keeping me hanging on. I'm going to watch again next week.
Okay.
This week, we, you know, see the development of the relationship between the werewolf. What is his name?
I've already forgotten. I know. It's different in the US version, so I keep thinking his name is George, because that's what it is in the UK version. But that's not it. It's like Oh, whatever. I don't know. I can't remember. I'm going to look it up now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I apologize for forgetting the name, but we learn a little bit more about the werewolf and his younger sister. And because of that relationship, we figure out, you know, that the werewolf was once engaged, and we're kind of learning a little bit more about his life before realizing that he was a werewolf. And we find out that his mom actually might have also been a wolf because the sister said she had a mental condition. Yeah. So that's interesting. And then we also get into Aiden, the vampire. I think that's his name, Aiden.
Aiden, yeah.
Yeah, so we're seeing a little bit more of his vampire gang. And he is struggling between, you know, the human world and his natural world, I guess. And apparently we see the return of Rebecca, who was the girl who died in the first episode. And I'm not sure if she's in the UK version. But
there is a girl, similar. Yes, there is a girl.
Yeah, she's a saucy little character. Like, yes. she's being really ballsy as a new baby vampire, and she's trying to snag her way into Aiden's life, and she just thinks that, you know, he's abandoned her, and she's like going on a rampage, and so it's pretty interesting. And another storyline is Sally, the ghost in the house. She's going crazy over trying to see her ex or her former fiance, who was the landlord of the apartment. Aww. And it's kind of a cute story, but we actually figure out how she died, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I haven't watched it yet, and I wonder if it's the same
way. Oh, do you want me to not say it?
No, you can say it. I mean, do you guys want to be
spoiled? That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not that far into the show,
Essentially, okay. It's just you know, she has an accident in the house. It's like your everyday accident, and somehow she is a fatal accident. But the thing is, I don't really believe that's how she really died.
Like, oh, good.
It's like such a simple explanation. Like, oh, she fell down the stairs.
You think it was something like, else? Like somebody pushed her or something?
Yeah, like why would she still exist in, you know, this limbo if she, you know, had an innocent death, right?
Okay, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, great. So anyway, that's holding my interest.
Good.
And I think it's pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to next week, and I'm especially interested in the whole the vampire scene, especially, you know, learning the politics of, you know, why they made her a vampire and everything. So
cool.
Anyway, still interesting and not blown away yet, but you guys will definitely want to check it out.
How does it compare with The Gates?
I'm gonna tell you, like, it's about the same speed as The Gates.
I think this is better. I mean, even the pilot episode that I watched, I think it's better.
Really?
Although really like The Gates, though, Stephanie, you liked it the most out of all of us.
I like the latter end of The Gates because they picked it up. Like, there's a lot of action. It was scary. A lot of good storylines coming together at the end. But it started kind of slow, I thought. And I think that the being human is also a little slow, but slightly better than The Gates. Maybe very much better, but, you know, I'm going to keep watching.
All good. Right.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah, well, the biggest difference I could tell in terms of storytelling is the fact that...
just fell out.
She did.
No. Hello,
there she is.
Oh, sorry. Oh my God, what happened?
I don't know. It's okay.
Yeah.
We were almost wrapping up Being Human, and really, what I was just gonna say was that the pacing for I know you think it's a little slow, but story wise, but the pacing in the U.S. version is a lot faster than the UK version, and it's got hipper music. You know, I'm hearing like the CW kind of music. That's not. I mean, this is BBC we're talking about. They don't approach things like that. It's slower. It's more, you know. I don't know. The story, I think, is fuller, but this one has a fun, whimsical kind of touch to it, and it's a little bit edgy. It's edgier. That's for darn sure. And hipper.
Don't get me wrong. I really like it. I mean, I'm going to keep watching it, but I'm just thinking, like, in general, American shows are faster paced, right? Like,
right.
In every adaptation of foreign shows, like, it's always so much faster.
It's true. And that's exactly what I see when I watch this. So, okay, good. I'm going to catch up, watch episode 2. And thank you for that report, Stephanie. Okay, Benjamin Walker set to play Abe Lincoln. Wait, Lynn, did you find this?
I found this, but I can't remember. I know we talked about the movie, or it was official, like they were going to do this, you know, they're going to shoot this. And I know a couple of you, or maybe most of you have read the book, Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. You did? Oh, okay.
Josh read it.
I think I'm the only one. Yeah.
Okay. So I just found this. And so I don't know if we ever mentioned the actor who's, or if they cast anyone to play Abe Lincoln. So apparently now it's Benjamin Walker. So he's going to be playing Abe Lincoln.
I don't know who he is. Do you guys know who he is?
I've never heard of him before. He's a cute guy, though, from the picture.
Yeah, it doesn't ring any bells. Yeah.
No.
Although I have to say, I was imagining him with, like, the really, really long beard and a top hat.
Well, they'll probably do that eventually. Well, I think Abe Lincoln goes through many years, so they'll probably, you know.
Yeah, it does. The novel follows him from his youth to adulthood. Yeah.
So he's somewhere maybe in the middle, and they can age him too, so he can look a little bit older. But we were talking way back, Eric Bana was rumored and stuff like that. So
I remember that.
So, you know, they go with somebody else who's not as familiar to us, but I guess he's on Broadway. He's, you know, like he's been in Broadway or whatever. We'll have to look him up, but that's cool. He beat out who? Brody and Timothy Oliphant for the role of Lincoln. Who's Brody? Brody. Well, whatever.
They're going with, like, you know,
unknown.
Less known actors. Maybe, I don't know. So it should be interesting. That's on my to read list.
yeah, that's cool. Good find. I like that. Okay, so now we know.
Yep.
Great. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to Twilight news. Okay, I guess there's been some rumors that Kristen Stewart, our little Bella, is rumored to play Snow White. What do we think of this, everybody?
My gosh.
I was super surprised. What do you think?
She goes from a vampire to Snow White. I just think that's hilarious. I mean, she could pull it off with the looks, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think she's innocent enough to play the role.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's peppy enough. I don't think she's got the...
That's what I'd be worried about.
She's an actress. So if she ends up doing this, she's just going to have to act not what she's like. Because we've seen her...
I've never seen her play like a peppy role.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe that it's not a peppy role because... You know, like maybe it's like a darker adaptation of
emo Snow White.
Right. Like they did Alice in Wonderland, like all dark and crazy,
that's
right?
That's true.
Because I heard that they were gonna cast Charlize Theron as the evil witch.
Uh-huh.
Whoa, that could be good.
What you mean in this Snow White movie?
Yeah, like opposite of Kristen Stewart, and I was thinking like maybe that might work. I don't know, you know?
Like it sounds like they're trying to make it cool.
Okay, Snow White and the Huntsman. Okay, so you know there's the Little Red Riding Hood movie, that Red Riding Hood that's coming out. That's a little, I mean, I never thought of Red Riding Hood as peppy. So, but this is like a princess, you know what I mean? So be like, I don't know.
And unless it'll only work if they do something like twisted to the fairy tale,
right?
I think. But we'll see. I don't know. I wasn't so opposed to it, but I know a lot of people were like, what?
It would be kind of cool if she was chosen, because then she won't be as typecasted as this emo vampire chick all the time.
Right. That's true. Lynn, what do you think? What are your thoughts on Kristen Stewart?
I think for her career, I think it would be good that she does this role so it can kind of expand her range on acting, you know, because we've seen her in like different roles, but they're kind of still very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think looks wise, she can definitely pull it off. I think they can do a good job making her look like Snow White. Again, it's the acting. I mean, we've seen her pretty much kind of in that somewhat like the awkward teenager role or the very dark, you know, that dark and lost or going through, you know, issues type. And there are a couple other movies that she's been in. They're all on that end of the spectrum. So I like to see kind of a happy princessy, you know, Yeah, peppy, like you guys said. You know, very Disney.
I know.
I don't know.
But we're not sure. Is this a, I guess it would be a Disney film because it's a Disney entity, right? And then we have the rumor that Viggo Mortensen will play the leading man, the huntsman.
I think he could do it. Could I work. Mean, judging on what I've seen from Lord of the Rings, he, I can see talking, him in that outdoors.
But the age difference, I guess, big is what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a little creepy. Yeah.
Like, it would look like he's way older, you know?
Ew, like a pedophile?
I don't know if you look like a pedophile, but...
But, I mean, definitely. I mean, I would imagine more father-daughter, like king and princess versus, you know...
Yeah.
Prince, you know?
I mean, I think because we know her is not even 21 yet, so that's our issue, right? Yeah. And then he's, you know, I mean... When he was Aragorn and dating Liv Tyler, who was younger than him too, back 10 years ago or however long Lord of the Rings was, that wasn't so bad.
Right.
That worked, but I don't know.
Huh.
Okay. Well, we'll let us know what you guys think. You guys think Kristen can pull off Snow White? Let us know in the comments or email us. We are very anxious to know what you think.
Okay, so moving on. Okay, I had no idea about this. So I recently, I don't know, I feel like I came out of a shell or something. But
here's the gossip part of the show.
Yes. Ashley Green alert. Dating Joe Jonas, one of the Jonas brothers.
It's oh true. My God.
I had no idea.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, did you not know either? Because I was like, Joe Jonas, are they just, well, apparently no, this article. Know. It says she opens up about cooking with Joe. So I thought at first it was a cooking show that she's doing. And then I read some more. Oh, they're dating and cooking together. Okay. So anyway, but yeah, so I I think they're cute together. So I hope it works out. I mean, they're both pretty young. I mean, she's 23. I don't know how old he is.
I don't think he's that much older, or you know, about the same age. So
I hope it works out. Maybe, you know, and she's on the cover of Teen Vogue. Mm-hmm. So I might when I'm standing in line at the grocery store, I'm gonna read some more about this
this
article.
Romance.
Oh, yeah, he's 21 years old.
Oh my god! Aww. Oh, she's the cougar.
He's a younger
nice.
Man.
Ooh, nice.
She's 23, so she would be a cougette.
Cougette. Yeah, that's true.
There you cougette. Go.
Yes.
She seems so down to earth from this.
The article?
Yeah.
What did they say? They met through mutual friends in London.
And they've met their parents already.
Wow.
Serious.
It's okay. Pretty serious. I mean, it's still a young love, you know, things.
Joe's the cutest Jonas brother to me. Well, the youngest one is also kind of cute. Like, if I were that age, you know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, just so cute. I don't know. Nobody else? Nobody opinions? I don't know.
I don't really care. I was really surprised. But she's also going to be in a film with Miley Cyrus and Demi Moore, LOL. So that's coming. That's upcoming comedy.
And Miley used to date the youngest Jonas Brothers. So there you go. They got lots to talk about.
Look at that.
Interesting. All right. Well, good luck.
Good luck. All right. Moving on to True Blood news. Kevin Alejandro beefs up for bewitching role.
And that's Jesus, right?
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. So you go, know Jesus. What this means. More scenes. A competition with Ryan Kwanten.
Oh, man. Nobody can beat Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Of course not.
Well, actually, Joe Manganiello canna. He can kind of give a run, but Ryan's pretty kind of like the buffest one. I don't know.
Yes.
Ryan's a hottie.
Ooh, that's what it says here. He says, so I'm sharing the screen with somebody like Ryan Kwanten, Kevin told Access Hollywood on Friday, feeling the pressure to get ripped for those shirtless and racy nude scenes that have come to be routine on the hit show. We all look within ourselves for inspiration to lose weight, get fit, but he's obviously the poster boy of a folks busy. Okay.
It's confirmed. Ryan is number one in physique there.
Yes.
Yay.
Well, so I guess this means, you know, Lafayette and Jesus finally.
I don't know.
Or we'll have a scene. I think they already have. I think you can kind of conclude that. But that we'd have a scene? I don't know. Or
yeah, I guess that means he'll be around for a while.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Was there any, remember, like, in the books, was there anything about him, like, one of the witches being dude or?
No, because Lafayette's dead
after the first book.
Right, but right. The witches, if he's kind of the witch of the books.
Well, I don't remember a male witch in the books. Ooh, do you, Stephanie? I don't really remember.
No, the witch story revolves around Amelia. I think she's the most prominently displayed witch. So I don't remember if there, I know that there are male witches, but they're minor characters.
Well,
this is one of those Alan Ball, you know, takes some, you know, license.
Yeah,
it's one of his tweaks, which is good.
Hi, Mimi.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Get ripped. Beef it up.
Yes, of course.
Awesome.
Great. So so this past Sunday was the SAG Awards, and apparently we didn't see this on TV, but True Blood wins the SAG Award for Television Stunt Ensemble. I had no idea about this award, but congratulations, True Blood stunt men and women.
Yay!
Yeah. Good job on those crazy vampire scenes.
I know, yeah. So good job. Yep.
Wait a minute. Before you move on, this website, do you see this photo here of True Blood?
The picture?
The Battle of the Fang, and then you see Stephen Moyer and Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh my gosh.
Stephen Moyer is wearing this t-shirt, I Like My Bitches Blonde, and then Alexander Skarsgård is wearing this Bill's Bitch. This is awesome.
That's awesome.
Because I guess they're teaming up, you know, having people do, this must be for charity, right? And then total raised, $69,000. So Team Eric versus Team Bill. All right,
Team Bill won.
Is it winning? Oh yeah,
it says thank you to all those who participated. So.
Oh, it's in the past. No way, did Team Bill win? Wow!
Look at that.
Oh, if you click on it, there's more photos.
What?
Yeah. There's a photo of Bill kissing.
Oh, they're kissing. Weird.
Oh my God, that's very cute.
Oh, if you scroll down, they're like hugging.
They are. It's for the SOS Children's Villages.
It's a lot of love between those two. It's cute.
I know.
How cute.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Okay, sorry. Sorry, Lynn.
Oh yeah, no, it's okay. I didn't even notice. I thought they were just two goof guys, you know, goofy guys in the ad.
We gotta put this link in the show notes.
We totally
yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah, for sure.
This is so awesome. Okay. Anyways.
Well, the next news, or it's not even really news. It's just a site I found that is bloodcopy.com. It's the official conversation about True Blood. So there's like the True Blood HBO Twitter feed. And then there's also a live feed. I think this is probably everything about True Blood that's in Twitterverse.
Yeah, it looks like it's an aggregate of everything that mentions the words True Blood or hashtag True Blood.
Right.
This is kind of interesting.
Yeah, so you could just go to one place instead of going to, you know, multiple places to get True Blood news.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They highlight the most talked about stories on Twitter at any given moment. Mm-hmm. And there's like a little word cloud of what's being discussed, and for some reason the Franklin is the largest word. Like, I love Franklin too.
Dude, you guys Franklin Mott. Nobody wants to let go of Franklin Mott. Wow. Can we say?
Yeah, it is the biggest one. When he died, I hope he comes back in some form.
I don't really hope he comes back. Really? But yeah, I mean, I love the actor. Dude, Franklin's insane. He's Kara. But I don't know. Maybe he can come back as a dream, as a good
kind of haunting dream or thing.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, speaking of future seasons of True Blood, Joe Manganiello he dishes about Alcide and Siki's storyline in an upcoming interview. It's on The Vault or trueblood-online.com. And I want to read you a little bit about his answer to the question, you know, what can I be looking forward to between Eric and Siki in season 4? And he doesn't really talk about Eric and Siki, but he does talk about his own character. He says, wherever Siki goes, Alcide is not going to be that far behind. He's very protective of her in the way that dogs are protective of their owners. even tiny dogs will bark and stand up to whoever or whatever is threatening their master, despite how tiny they are compared to the tormentor. That's the same theory at the heart of Alcide. Fortunately, he is a bit bigger than a purse dog, and his bark and bite are pretty ferocious. So I got to say, I'm glad to see that he's going to have a larger role in season.
Yes.
Because I thought he was so underused in this previous season.
Yeah, I agree.
Completely agree. Completely agree with you. It's like, come on, man.
He's way too cute to not have on the TV.
No kidding. Hello. I think we all know that now, too. So they should play that up. Play that up. I don't care what you need to do, Alan Ball. Put that Alcide in.
Yeah.
Have him transform so he's naked out when he transforms back, okay?
I was going to say just shirtless, but that goes a step further.
Ooh. Well, you know, we saw some buttocks last season. We could see some more.
Oh, yeah. I forget. I've been so stuck in the Vampire Diaries and, like, it's PG-ness. I forget about the booty and...
Oh, yeah. We're going to see some booty in 6 months. Booty!
Yay!
In June! All right, sorry. Oh, it's my turn. Right, now we're moving on to the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, how about that PG-13 stuff? Yeah,
distracted by the booty.
I was. I really was. I was thinking of that booty scene. Reverie. I was thinking of that scene when he runs into Tara in the woods and she's like, whoa. Okay, sorry. Man. Oh, okay. I just get to say this. The new episode is this week, and we just saw it. We'll recap that in just a minute of the Vampire Diaries in a little bit. But there's other gossip news.
Oh, yes. I know.
And Liz dug up all the gossip.
I did, because I haven't been looking. did you guys know that Tyler, Michael Trevino, and Glee's... actor, what is her name in
Glee? Tina.
Who's played by Jenna Ushkowitz,
I think. Ushkowitz?
Yeah. They're dating.
I had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Glee and Vampire Diary. So there are like a couple articles, one on MTV, HollywoodCrush.mtv.com. It's kind of funny. They're talking about them dating, but then, it also kind of talked about this cross-network romance with Nina Dobrev and Corey Monteith. Maybe they could make a cute couple. And then Ian Somerhalder and Naya Rivera. And then Robert Overstreet and Candace Aqua. So, I mean, they're just kidding around. But, you know, since one... It's a cross-network, right? You have Glee, you have Vampire Diaries.
They got a little long-distance romance, too, because he's, like, shooting in Atlanta, and she's in L.A. for Glee.
That's true, yeah. But they went to the SAG Awards together, so that happened. He tweeted, at my first SAG Award, such a surreal moment for me to be surrounded by so many talented people.
Aw.
Yeah, so.
And my girlfriend. There we go.
Yeah. And there's like
she
this
looks
cute,
super young.
Yeah, there's this cute picture of them like cuddling too at a party and they look really happy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I posted a link to a picture right below the article.
I'm going to look at that
super cute.
Do you think this is the SAG Award? No, he's not dressed up. He's wearing jeans. So
it could be an after party though. I don't know why they would dress down. I don't know. Sometimes I guess.
Well, they're dating.
Okay, good. Good for them. Yay!
Yes.
Approve. okay. Oh, all right. So during the Vampire Diaries episode, and we'll get to our breakdown in just a little bit. Did you guys notice the phone number? That was held up by Stefan. He called this phone number several times, and we saw the number several times. I'm going to dial it right now.
It was kind of deliberate, too, because, you know, usually when you watch TV, like, they always do, like, area code and then 555 something, 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 right?
Oh, yeah, this one
wasn't. Yeah, they were pretty deliberate. I think they're pretty clever.
Okay, here we go. If you dialed the number, this is what you heard.
Hello. For those of you who are Team Salvatore / Team Elena, here's a tip. Reconsider your allegiance. No one has the slightest idea what Klaus is truly capable of. When he shows, and believe me, he will show, nothing can protect Elena, not even Big Bad Damon. Her only chance of survival is to do exactly what I've done for hundreds of years. Run, hide, repeat.
And for those of you who are Team Catherine, don't be. If history has told us one thing, it's that Catherine Pierce can't be trusted. Ditto. Screw Catherine. Save Elena. Down with Klaus. You know, all that inspiring go team stuff.
Oh, wow. Nice. So there you go.
That's so cool.
I guess there's nothing else. The phone. Oh, hello. Oh, I wonder if I can. I leave a message. Oh.
The user's mailbox can't accept more messages.
Dang.
That's
too
late.
Oh, wow.
I guess I could have left a message way back when. I didn't even think. Oh, darn it. Okay, so, yeah, they deliberately had that phone number when Stefan was trying to call looking for Isabel.
Easter eggs.
I know.
That's so cool.
I know that they had something like that last season, too, and I didn't call. But this time I was like, oh, I'm calling this time. Right. So that was the message, in case you didn't know.
Did I wonder if they're trying to give us a bit of a foreshadowing about this season.
Ooh. Oh, Team Catherine, Team Elena. Oh, yeah. You mean like with Damon saying, screw Catherine, Team Elena kind of thing?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, maybe.
Did you guys happen to check out that new promotional shot with Nina Dobrev?
Yes. Dude, she looks gorgeous.
She does. It's a photo of her looking all glammed up with, I don't know, her hair's kind of messy, but she's got this crazy striped dress on in a really old, dirty room. But she looks gorgeous. And the thing is, I searched and searched for some context to this image, and I couldn't find it. And so, I don't know if any of you listen to that out there.
I think it's a photo shoot.
It's for the Vampire Diaries. It's because it's from them, but I don't know if it's Catherine. I don't know if it's
Elena,
and I don't know why. I don't know.
Oh, it could be Catherine. There's a bunch of old books that she's leaning up against, right?
So it stirred all these questions in my head about what's to come, and I don't know, but I thought it was a really stunning picture.
You know, coming from a hacker's perspective, I wonder if there's some kind of steganography behind this photo.
Ooh, and, I wish... This is the highest resolution.
That'd be cool. I wonder if I could download it and put it into a software program and
do it,
see if there's some kind of file hidden inside of it.
Hack that photo.
Do it, Shannon. Do it. Okay,
I'll try it.
Great. Yay.
Oh, and then right before we started recording, I found this funny link that someone said that Nina Dobrev is going to be in this silly, silly looking movie called The Roommate with Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl.
Oh,
and I don't
boy.
Know if you... I know. I saw in the trailer during, you know, when I was at the movies, I was like, oh, God, that's going to be a train wreck. oh, my God, I read Nina Dobrev is going to be in it. I'm like, wow, okay, that's intriguing because it doesn't seem like Nina Dobrev would take, like, a terrible role, you know? So I tried to watch the trailer. I didn't get to watch it all the way through, but I don't know. You guys should just watch it and let me know what you think.
The trailer looks dumb. I saw it on TV, and I was just like, oh, it's another one of those a bunch of pretty girls running around and getting killed by people type movie.
Yeah.
It's a little bit kind of like the single white female meets the sorority row type.
Poor Nina. That's not right.
I bet Nina bites it in this one. I bet she dies.
Maybe she just has like a small cameo or something, and
She probably dies like in the first
5 minutes.
That would probably be best for her.
Yeah,
it probably would.
So the movie doesn't stain her career. Oh yeah, I just died really quickly in that one. That didn't count.
Maybe. Well, cool.
Hey, so, getting back to what Stephanie mentioned about that photo shoot, I think that it's a Elle magazine photo shoot. It's on vampirediariesguy.com. They have a photo shoot with her below that photo. I know it says new Elena promo pic on there, but I wonder if it's related to the Elle magazine.
I did hear about that Elle magazine shoot. It's about the top woman in television, and also Anna Paquin is also in it. That same
article.
Yeah. I guess there's a cover of Katie Holmes on the front, but inside is our two little vampire actresses.
Yeah. But the only thing is she's not wearing the same outfit, so it could be something different. Oh, well.
It looks very Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like that style, so.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Cool.
Okay. I tried.
Oh, and just to back up, the name of the wolf, the vampire in Being Human U.S. is Josh.
Josh.
Oh, now I have to go back.
Yeah.
I will never forget now.
You're a wolf, Josh.
Damn.
All right. Let's go ahead and, you wanted to be a vampire?
I guess. I don't know. I just didn't want it to be chosen for me. But
okay.
I guess that's how those things work, though. Yes. You don't really choose.
Oh, yeah. You don't get a choice. Sorry.
Damn it.
All right, let's move on to our recap of The Vampire Diaries, Season 2, Episode 12, The Descent. Okay, I didn't want to be correct in my bet, in our bet, but, you know, sorry.
It was predictable.
Yeah.
I kind of knew, but you're right. I mean, it could have gone in several ways. She could have survived another episode and died that second episode instead of this episode. But sorry. I went. My prediction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can we like just get into her death real quick?
Yeah. What do you want?
I knew she was going to die, but I was also really sad when it happened.
We're talking about Rose, everybody. Rose. Yeah.
I think it's also because she was a good vampire. Is that what? And she actually cares about human.
Yeah.
She wants her humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's, you know, that
why
made
you're
her
so sad?
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and skip to the first soundbite here. Rose talking to Damon.
I was born in 1450. That makes me 560 years old.
Well, if you were a bottle of wine...
So I can die.
I've lived long enough. You know, if you're going to be maudlin, I'm just going to kill you myself. Just to put me out of your misery. Come on, just a little werewolf bite.
Just a little fatal to a vampire werewolf fight.
Well, according to legend, which is a notoriously unreliable source. Drink up.
Well, I didn't, you know, spend too much time grabbing that bite, but, you know, I mean, 500 and some odd years old.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like she's come to peace with the fact that she might actually not make it.
And she was constantly on the run. I mean, what kind of life is that where she's like constantly hiding from Klaus and Elijah, you know, and all of them. So,
she sounds just like really tired and really old.
I mean, it sounds like before she got bit, you know, she was willing to fight it out and help and whatnot. So, but you know, when push comes to shove, and later she talks to Elena and is just like, you know, we're not supposed to hurt, you know, I haven't had a cold in years and you know, all of a sudden I'm hurting, you know, when we die, we just die instantly. You know, it shouldn't be this painful.
This drawn out thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's because she is a likable character. I mean, you know, Uncle John, Stephanie, you don't care what happens to him. You want him to go away.
When I thought he was dead before, I was like, yes.
I did. I thought of you, Stephanie, when I saw it. I was like, Uncle John's back. What is Stephanie going to say?
Like, he just bothers me.
He's there for you. He's there for you.
You guys all know how I feel. And it kind of annoys me that he's back. I'm like, what? I mean, I know that Isabel is going to come back, but I hope that Isabel comes back, but I don't see the need for Uncle John. He's unnecessary.
But he's Elena's dad, though.
Yeah.
You know? Still doesn't matter to you?
Yeah.
I mean, he and Isabel are still, you know, they still know that that's their daughter, and...
Yeah.
I'm more excited to see Isabel.
Okay.
I wonder if it's also related to the wolf, too, you know, now that... now that there's, you know,
Jules?
Another wolf. Yeah, Jules. Because Jules, they sat down, parts of the conversation with Tyler said like, oh, there's, you know, more, they have a group and they're all coming. So maybe, I wonder if Uncle John knows more about the supernatural you know, world, then he lets everyone.
He might. You have a good point. Though.
Well, I mean, Isabel probably does. And so through the two of them. Yeah. I mean, they've been working together for a while, right? So
yeah, I always had the sense that he knew more about things that were going on than we have fully learned yet. So
cool. Well, I hope we get the information out of Uncle John, but I don't think he will last the season because he doesn't have his ring anymore since he gave it to Elena's brother, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah,
and
right,
so
yeah.
Now that he's back in town, he has no real protection.
Oh. I see Catherine killing him.
But Catherine, yeah, Catherine. Yeah. Oh, I wonder how his hand is. Are they going to ever show his hand?
They got to show his bandage or something, right?
Yeah, they'll have to do something.
They'll show something. They'll show something. They'll have a fake hand in there, but you know, with missing fingers. They have to.
I will
God, you just want to see the decrepit part of John.
I don't want to sound cruel, but yeah, I want to see it.
But yeah, I think, you know, overall, I hate to be right. Rose is dead, and we'll get into all of that, you know, what happened. But I was really sad. It was really sad. And we'll hear a longer portion of Rose and Damon talking and talk about that in a bit. I want to just go ahead and, you know, kind of walk through the episode. Jules, the very first thing we see is Jules in the camp. She's obviously killed some people. After the transformation, because the last time we saw the Vampire Diaries, it was the full moon, and obviously she was very affected. So, but I guess for her, well, I don't know. She was out in the woods, happened to be some casualties in the way. What can you do?
Yeah, it seemed like she knew what she was doing when she woke up and found a bunch of people dead. She was just
collecting
like, oh, put them in a pile.
Yeah,
exactly.
She didn't seem like she had any like sorrow. Like she didn't seem like she was sorry.
She had none. Yeah.
It was just a problem she needed to solve quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I bet that girl runs wild every time she turns.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, she even pretended that those people were her friends just to almost get out of trouble with the cop that came.
Yeah. Right.
And then she bashed him on the head.
Yeah,
I know. Well, she was kind of caught, like he saw her face and whatnot. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Her first
bad news.
She kind of is.
Yeah.
And maybe the rest of the people, whoever's coming, are all bad news. We'll find out soon. Now, then we cut to Elena and Stefan, and Stefan's like, "Look, I'm gonna call Isabel, and it was you who made the deal with Elijah, not me." You know, she's just like, "Look, I want everybody to stay alive." What I thought was interesting was that, you know, much like Elena feeding Stefan blood to keep him strong, you know, she's also giving him the vervain because that's what Catherine was drinking to, you know, to stay immune, you know, just get a little bit every day. But it seems like even just the tiniest bit hurt him. So,
and you mean immune from the compulsion of Elijah, right?
Or is it the vervain itself? Yeah,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, they don't know about the compulsion at all.
Yeah, because Stefan was saying, like, after he took the vervain, he was like, man, how does compulsion even work against a vampire from, you know, because Elijah can compel other vampires. And
they were just talking about it being the originals and, you know, who knows.
Oh, right.
But that, you know, maybe the person that does know is Isabel. And so that's when he was like, look, I need to go find her. We need to, you know, she didn't want that to happen, but. That's why we didn't see much of Steph in this episode, because he's out looking for Isabel. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then of course we come back to Rose. God, you know, the bite, you know, in the back was just ugh. All right, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, Damon leaves Elena to look after Rose, and you know, he's gonna.
Which sounded like a bad idea to begin with.
It really did. Like, what do you think you're doing leaving a vampire with her?
Yeah, I was like, that was way too convenient for the writers to set up a bad situation. I was like, no one would leave like a dying, possibly, as we saw, demented vampire with
a human. I mean, I don't think
with a human.
Do that, but dying, you know, with a human, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was interesting. The whole dementia and just forgetting.
I liked that. I liked how they handled her. I have to in say, and out of her past.
This episode was scary in many ways, you know?
Yeah, it was.
It reminded me of a really, you know, like pretty good, like, horror films where you just don't know. You know, you've got your hero, you got Elena, like, fighting to stay alive, and she's kind of put in this awkward situation of, and you just don't know. But man, when Rose got mean and forgot, woo, I was so scared. And then when she when Elena locked herself in the room, daylight, I was thinking, can't she jump out of the house?
Well, also she ran away from the door when she first opened the door and Rose fell. And I was like, okay, now you can, or you can go away from the door. It's like, that was like a bad horror movie moment when you're like,
that's true. No, go upstairs and lock yourself in a room.
Yes, that's a perfect plan.
Cause that's smart.
Vampires can't go through doors with bookshelves pushed against them. No.
No.
But it was still scary despite that. It still worked.
All of it was scary. And then, you know, in the evening when Rose gets out, you know, Damon comes back like, where is she? And she's like, I don't know. And she's holding that steak. Then she goes out, you know, like, you know, killing the couple. And what Rampage. That was all really scary to me. Even though, you know, that couple gets into the, or the woman gets into the car and then she eats the guy. And
right.
Then
yeah.
Her, that was all, I mean, I knew it was coming, but it was still really scary. I thought that was good scary, though.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Right? I mean, did you?
It was good.
Okay.
Yeah. It was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. And parts of me were like, I'm like putting my hands in my eyes, like, ah. That was good because I don't normally think of the Vampire Diaries as scary. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are moments where it's scary, but usually it's just very moody and brooding and, oh, okay, maybe Catherine might kill somebody or whatever. But I don't know. There's always, it's not as scary. This was scary to me. I like that. I think it moved really well. Well, I wanted to jump back to Caroline and Tyler really quick. And we all kind of agreed. We like Caroline with Tyler, right? That's what we said last week.
They're cute.
Yeah. They're cute. All right, let's hear Tyler and Caroline talking outside.
Hey. Where have you been?
Dad's school. What's up? What do you want?
We need to talk.
Why? What's wrong with you?
I just don't understand one thing.
What?
Why would you risk it? If a werewolf bite kills a vampire, why would you risk it?
Because you needed help.
I could have killed you.
But you didn't.
Yeah. I don't understand you, Caroline.
So hard for you to let someone else help you.
Well, that's not it.
Yeah, it is, Tyler. You know, it's like you don't want anyone to care about you. And I'm sorry, I cared. I care, Tyler. So forgive me if I overstep my boundaries by actually giving a...
And they made out? Is that what happened?
Well, that was... Oh, yeah. That's when he kissed her. You're right.
Yeah, he kissed her.
And then she says, oh, stop. Everyone stop.
Yeah, everyone
kissing
needs
me.
To stop kissing me.
I didn't remember if she kissed him back. I didn't actually remember the.
I
felt like she was into it.
There was a little bit of that, right?
Yeah, at first.
Yeah.
I think she.
But then she came to her senses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still like her with him, though. I kind of don't. When she was with Matt earlier. I was like, go away, Matt.
It was awkward.
Wasn't it? Didn't it not feel right anymore at first?
Oh, it was totally awkward.
Yeah, I mean, last season, that worked, right? I was like, oh, glad when they hooked up earlier this season. But I don't know. I wanted him to go away. When I saw him, you know, early in the earlier scene, I was like, oh, go away, Matt. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
No, it's about time for his exit.
And how did you exit him, Stephanie?
I'm not sure. Maybe he'll have to hang out with Tyler on a full moon. Oh my god, I'm like so mean now. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Between Matt and Uncle John, I sound like a total biatch.
Wow.
I'm worrying about Caroline because she's starting to get herself into a lot of trouble. Like with Tyler, she's not telling him the whole story, and she's not telling the brothers the whole story or Elena, anybody.
Yeah, that's going to be trouble.
Oh, yeah. And then with Jules, who is going to drop some news later on Tyler. It's going to get kind of awkward.
It's going to get pretty ugly, you know, and why she lied and whatnot. You know, it's sort of like all these lies that everybody tells. She's kind of like a younger Damon telling all these lies and messing up when if she just fessed the truth, Tyler doesn't know. He just, you know, he's just going along life the way it is. Oh, crap. I'm a werewolf. Who's going to help me? You know?
Yeah, I can't remember. What was her initial reason for not wanting to tell him that there were any other vampires?
She wasn't allowed to.
It was the others.
It was Damon, yeah.
So she promised them that she would not tell anyone. Is that what it was?
I think so, yeah. I think it was just sort of like don't... At first I thought it was just don't tell him about the bite, but then... Or a bite killing vampires, but then I think it was...
Yeah, because they're trying to protect themselves.
Right. But I also think they didn't want her to tell him about everybody else to out the secret, you know? So,
and they don't want her ousting the fact that they killed Mason
early
on as well.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's...
There's a lot of secrets that they're trying to hold from him.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it's a little crazy. So poor Caroline, who's going to get into a whole world of trouble pretty soon, especially in the next episode. I feel bad for her. So that's going on. And, you know, she's like, oh, my God, stop kissing me. And then Rose is still going crazy, whatever. I think I'm skipping around crazily here in the episode. But the one scene I do want to... remind everybody about was that when Damon was hunting for Jules and, you know, trying to get an answer for the cure, and she just didn't have it. She just said, yes, here's your cure. Put a stake in her heart and drive it through. Ouch.
I wonder if there really is a cure.
I expected him to retaliate more quickly given that. Like, once she's, like, said that I'm not going to help you at all or I don't know at all, like, why wouldn't he just take out some of his frustration on her in her non-wolf form, you know?
Because they were in the restaurant.
Well, maybe he will later, you know, because I don't think she's not a threat. Unless she's a wolf.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Wolf. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to kill anybody. I don't know. Maybe he still thought he could get an answer somehow.
At this point, he hadn't killed anyone in a long time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very true. So, in the meantime, I guess we just... Yeah, what were you saying? Do you think, Lynn, you think there might... What if there is a cure?
Oh, I was just saying, I wonder maybe if there is one maybe there isn't one, or maybe she doesn't know, because, I mean, the whole point is to kill the, I mean, if the bite is to kill the vampire, why would they want to, like, have a cure to save them? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there isn't a cure. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe she doesn't know. So.
I bet a witch needs to cure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a storyline. There you go. Somebody's going to get bit and one of the witches are going to say, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a maybe.
Yeah, we didn't see Bonnie in this episode or her buddies.
Yeah,
no witches here. So,
nope.
You know what? There's got to be a cure, but we just don't know. You're right. She doesn't know. All right, so let's go back to Rose and Damon. Elena's fine. She gets away. Damon is back with Rose and basically yells to Elena, go away. Mm-hmm. And they have this really poignant scene where he's holding her in his bedroom and, you know, they're talking and she's kind of, he has initiated a dream. So let's listen to that.
The sun is so warm. I miss this. I miss being human.
Humanity's not all it's cracked up to be.
I had friends, I had a family. It mattered.
You still do?
No. But you do. You've built a life, whether you want to admit it or not. I spent 500 years just existing.
You didn't have a choice. You were running from class.
No, there's always a choice.
know, you were ruining our perfect day with your strange philosophical babbling.
I'd like to enjoy the fresh air. Will you enjoy it with me?
For a while.
That's the part that made me sad.
That yeah. was very sad. Yeah. They did it. They made her whole death sequence so beautiful. That whole dream sequence about her being in this place that she loved with just Damon and nobody else. It was kind of like his chance to finally say goodbye.
Yeah. And he knew it too. And how heartbreaking was it when he like put the stake in her? Oh,
yeah. Oh, that was so sad.
Like I knew it was coming as soon as she got up and said, "Let's race" or whatever. And
oh my god, he started crying.
Like 1, 2, 3, and then the stake went in. And then I don't know. That was probably like one of the very, very few times you've seen Damon really show his emotions.
Mm-hmm. He had a tear.
Aww. It's weird for me to see a tear though, because I'm used to the vampires crying blood now, you know, for True Blood.
Right,
so that was
my
just dumb little observation, but I'm just like, why do you have tears?
Earlier, when Caroline almost started crying in front of her ex-boyfriend Matt, for a second I was like, crap, don't cry, you're gonna show your blood.
Yep.
Oops, never mind.
But yeah, that was really beautiful. And, you know, poor Damon now. I felt really bad for him. Like, he had developed feelings for her and, you know, I don't know. Maybe he
like it was like attracted to her, but it was also just like a genuine friendship. I think that they
an actual connection. Developed. Yeah.
Right. Yep. And then he had to go show her, you know, her body to the sheriff.
Yeah.
You know, just to show that, you know, he fixed the problem. But like you could see that he was still in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As he tried to put on that brave face. And even Elena tries to get it out of him. Like she's like, I know that you're sad. I'm your friend. And like she gives, you know, Elena gives Damon this huge bear hug. I know it's a little weird, but.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Damon was just refusing to let himself feel, but she knew that he was hurting.
Right. Well, and then in the end, Damon is old Damon. But you know what? In the scene where at the end he's, you know, obviously going to bite the girl, it almost seemed like he was sort of reluctant, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was wavering. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he was very lost and confused, but he obviously wasn't. Just on a pure, I'm going to destroy things, tear. He was hesitating. Yeah.
Yeah. Hadn't killed anyone in a long time. And I think he was trying to be, you know, a good, you know, like quote unquote, good vampire for a while. And what I got from that scene was that, you know, he just stopped some random girl on the road and he started just spilling out how he feels to her. Like he was, he just was using her as a counselor to some extent. Like he just had to let somebody know how he felt. And then he fought, you know, with himself over, you know, whether it's to be the good vampire. And then he just wasn't, he just let himself go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, well, he just had to vent.
He just had to vent. Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially.
See, it's not so good to have any humanity in you. Let that go. All right. Well, Damon's, you know, kind of back to Damon being upset and biting people. Jules sets up a meeting with Tyler, and this is their conversation.
And you?
You know what?
I know you're a werewolf, and I know your little friend Caroline is a vampire.
How do you know about Caroline?
I can't sniff them out. Oh my god. You are brand new. How many times have you turned? Hey, I can help you.
Do you know where Mason is?
He's dead, Tyler. He was murdered.
No.
You want to know who murdered him?
It just stopped.
The little blonde vampire did.
No. Caroline would never do this.
She and her little vampire friends were behind it, Tyler.
Caroline is the only vampire in town.
Is that what she told you? She lied. This town is crawling with vampires. But don't worry.
worry. We'll get them. Who are you?
I'm your friend. There are others like us, and they're on their way.
Others
she
like
kind
us.
Of lied there. She was like, Caroline killed her, killed him.
But do you think she knows?
I don't think she knows.
I don't think she knows either.
Blaming it on the vampires, and Caroline's the name, like the closest, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's useful for her to drive that wedge between Tyler and Caroline.
She does have those people that she was on the phone with back a couple of episodes ago, so she must know something's going on.
I don't, you know, can I just tell you, I was just thinking, like, somehow, you know how, the werewolf and the witches and, the vampires and the witches, they were kind of working together. I just hope she wasn't on the phone and it was like Isabel or, like, you know, because there's some kind of,
that would be a good
there's
twist.
There's an interconnection with all these people using each other to kind of gain something. So,
because then
we see Uncle John. It's like, I hope that wasn't related. So, I don't know. It's, I really hope there's some real werewolves. We kind of need to up the animals a bit, you know?
More animals. More animals.
I like to see kind of a little Breaking Dawn action or Eclipse action with them fighting. or joining together.
I gotcha. Yeah, that would be weird. Let's just have like mini camps. Let's do that. The wolf camp, the Isabel crazy camp, the Catherine crazy camp, the Elijah and Klaus. God, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they've casted Klaus yet, but I think we're supposed to see him at the end of the season. So that would be super interesting. And then Stefan's back. Back. Yay. I had to call, I had to find Isabel. Yes, I know. But there was something a little bit different. Dun, dun, dun. And Stephanie's dreams come true.
My nightmares.
There he is, Uncle John. Okay. Yeah. Now in the preview for next week, Damon's not having anything of it. He's like, we kill him, you know? So there's, you know, at least he's like, I don't know. I don't trust him being back. So, and then of course, Caroline is, you know.
Oh, she's confronted by
she's
Tyler.
Confronted by Tyler, you know, why did you lie to me? And then, Tyler puts her in a little cage. Am I the only one who saw the preview for?
Yeah, I saw it.
Saw too.
Oh, good.
Caroline in cage was creepy.
Caroline in the cage. Yeah. And she's just like, why are you doing this to me? And, you know, he's just,
so she
doesn't
can't break out of it, huh?
Well,
strength.
Who knows what, maybe they gave her vervain or something.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. Wow. That's,
yeah.
But Caroline, oh my gosh, please. No.
She didn't mean anything. She's the baby vampire. So, exactly. But maybe they might use her as, you know, a bargaining
bait,
chip.
Yeah,
bait, you know, for Damon and Stefan or something, right? Could be.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be. All right, well, there's going to be a lot to be revealed. I'm really glad. You know, this was a solid episode, I thought. I was kind of like at the end of the first half of the of this season, I was kind of like, I'm not quite sure. Not my favorite so far. I mean, it's interesting. There's a lot of good stories, but I kind of wasn't feeling it so well. But I really like this episode. I thought they brought it back home.
And it's a good start.
Yeah.
Good start to the season.
Absolutely. Yeah, lots happened. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you got to kill people in order to feel. Sorry.
The like, only way to achieve so drama. Bad.
Yeah, I mean, you can't kill the main characters, but you got to kill, you know, people or characters that you like.
Yes.
Fortunately, it's always the ones that I like. I'm like, come on. And then poor Stephanie's still staring at Uncle John.
Uncle John just will not go away.
Sorry, Stephanie.
It's okay.
All right. So we've got just a couple of emails to read. And one of them is from Kat Fenn from last week. I don't know if you guys remember. She wondered about shipper. She remembers she had that email, and I didn't know what that meant about some shipper or something.
Oh, yeah.
So this is what she means. I meant, what couples do you like on the Vampire Diaries? A shipper means a fan devoted to a particular couple pairing in a fandom. Oh. So I've always said I'm Stellana. Oh. I'm a Stellana girl still. So that's, I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
Loyal, but who's Delana? Anybody else? Delana, Stellana?
Delana, Damon, and Elena?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, not Stefan and Elena?
So think of you. What
I want to see Delana.
Elena. So, okay, wow. Shannon wants to see Delana.
I want to see it out of curiosity, but I don't know who I favor. I don't know who I favor.
Yet. Yeah, that's me too. I'd like to see because of, I'm curious, but I don't really favor
one or the other. If she dabbles in Damon a little bit, that'd be cool with me.
yeah.
And how about
trade him back and forth?
Josh? I mean, I think it's inevitable that something along those lines is going to have to happen. But, yeah, I mean, I think Stefan is who she should be with. But, yeah, there's going to be some kind of big drama that'll occur because there'll be some Delana something.
Some Delana something something.
And maybe Stefan will have a new lady, you know? I just don't want him to be alone.
I don't know.
No? I don't see that. That would be really hard to pull off. Yeah.
The only person that he would go back to is probably Catherine, which I don't know.
Oh God, I hope not.
He hates her though.
She's still there. She's still in this cave this whole time.
That would be interesting if she could be redeemed in some way. That'd be really hard though. That would take a long time to be convincing, but
yeah.
Ooh. She's got a lot of secrets.
She does. She does. Okay. This is from Angela. And she makes a comment. She's very excited that we're talking about Vampire Academy books. And she says that Bloodlines, the name of the series of the new book, will be out this year, August 23rd.
Yep.
Did you know that, Stephanie? Did you say that last week? Okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't say it on the show, but I did post a link to there's a countdown website that I posted on our Facebook fan page. And it's a ridiculously long countdown right now because it doesn't come until August. But you can pre-order the book already if you want to.
Oh, okay. Good. But in the meantime, if you're looking for more adult books, you check out Rochelle Mead's Adult Books in the Georgina Kincaid series about a succubus. I think we've been recommended this book before. Or the Dark Swan series, which is about gentry. All right. And then she also recommends the Black Dagger Brotherhood, which you talked about other people recommending last week, right?
That's like the third or fourth mention of it. So it must be good.
Yeah, I actually downloaded the audiobook for that. So I don't know when I'm going to get to it because I'm in the middle of The Girl Who Played with Fire or Dragon Tattoo.
All right. Well, let me know how it goes. It'll be a while until I am able to get to it as well.
Yeah. And then she said about tonight's show, the one that we just recapped, was really good. Oh, but she said she was actually happy to see Uncle John or Daddy John.
Daddy John. I will refrain judgment from that.
Looks like Damon is spinning back out of control and gets to be evil Damon again. I knew Rose was going to die, but it was sad to see. And Tyler now knows there is more than one vampire, so that's not good with his now knowledge of the wolf bite being deadly to vampires. So true. So I look forward to what has become Damon and Elena action. If it's going to happen, it won't happen until last two episodes, if at all.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's what she thinks.
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that, too.
Yeah.
Okay, and then this is from Candace. Loves the show. Great entertainment while I go through realms of data entry at work. I like that you discuss a variety of vampire TV shows, movies, and books. Thanks, Candace. We were saying in episode 76 that we're looking for more adult. Okay, here we go. More adult-oriented vampire fiction, and she is suggesting Tempest Rising by Nicole Peeler. The first book in the Jane True series, of which there are three books so far, it is very much like the Sookie Stackhouse series by Charlaine Harris. So here's a description. Living in the small town Rockabille, Maine. Oh, Maine. Okay. Jane True always knew she didn't quite fit in with so-called normal society. During her nightly clandestine swim in the freezing winter ocean. Wow. A grisly. Okay. A grisly find leads Jane to startling revelations about her heritage. She is only half human. Now, Jane must enter a world filled with supernatural creatures, alternatively terrifying, beautiful, and deadly, all of which perfectly describe her new friend, Rue, a gorgeous and powerful vampire. It is a world where nothing can be taken for granted. A dog can heal with a lick, spirits bags your groceries, and whatever you do, never, ever rub the genie's lamp.
Oh.
She says, I'm sure you get a lot of book recommendations, but I thought I'd contribute this as it's one of my favorites.
Cool.
Thanks, Candace. That's pretty cool. You know what? There's one comment on the blog I wanted to mention really quickly because I wasn't sure of the answer. Oh, there's more comments on the blog now. Oh, my gosh. Let's see here. This is from Chrissy. Oh, okay. Now this is for being human, and Stephanie, you and I can weigh in on this. Okay. She was Chrissy's wondering why, in being human, they could walk around during the day. Hopefully, they will explain that soon. I am also curious how they are turned into vampires and if they have any powers like super speed or super strength. I'm
interested too.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay. In the UK version, I don't think they really ever explain why they don't.
I mean, even the Gates explained it.
That should be like the baseline if the Gates did it.
If the Gates can do it, being human can do it.
Honestly, I mean, in being human, he doesn't like, in the UK version, he doesn't like the sun and will wear shades and, you know, kind of like, in the town that they live into is not very sunny. It's like very overcast all the time in London. So it's kind of like in Forks, you know. It's gray, you know.
And being human is set. The USA version is in what city? Like New York? I forget.
Boston.
Boston. Okay.
Okay. So then there's some. Danitra responds. UK version of being human never explains why vampires can walk in the daylight. Also, the UK version has vampires eating and drinking food, unlike the US version. That's what I said. The executive producer of the US version explains how the show will eventually differ from the original, which there's a link here for those of you who want to read it. It's on our blog in the comments for last week's episode. So, okay. I guess that's it for, yes.
I wanted to mention one thing, because of our episode last week where we mentioned all the books and, if you listeners want to download or read any of these books, Josh was a trooper and he put all of the links to all of the books we talked about in our Bike Club store.
Thank you.
So there was like a crap ton of books. There's True Blood books, Twilight, Vampire Academy, Shannon, your Christopher Moore books are in there.
Yeah.
As well as the Black Dagger Brotherhood and Midnight Breed. They're all available from BikeClubShow.com on the right side of the right webpage. All for sale.
That's right. Thank you so much for reminding me about that.
Thank you. Oh my God, yes. I'm going to go buy some now.
Which one are you going to buy?
Well, I guess you guys mentioned that Black Dagger Brotherhood was mentioned a few times.
J.R. Ward,
So I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a try. And I think this the last emailer with the adult, more adult vampire.
Succubus.
I'm going to give it a try.
Okay, so you have that email, right? It's the Tempest Rising.
Popular.
Jane True series. There you go. More Sookie Stackhouse-like.
Unfortunately, it's not at the library, darn it.
Oh!
I still go to the library, so...
they don't want you reading that smut, Lynn.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, we'll have a lot more fun and smut to talk about next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week with another recap of The Vampire Diaries and God knows what else we'll come up with. More butt talk, more whatever. I don't know. We got it here all for you on Bike Club Show. All right. Until next time. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.